Ben retreated through the hatch without awaiting a reply. Luke smiled anyway, grateful for his son's concern, then turned to look out on the devastation below. It was hard to know whether Tharut's history of Abeloth's origin was entirely accurate, but Luke did trust the Jedi record of the encounter on Mortis, and he found it troubling. His father's refusal to become the new Keeper of the Balance had set off a terrible chain of events. All three of the Ones had died, and now the Force was out of balance. Looking back over the last half century, it certainly seemed to Luke that there had been a shift toward chaos. Powerful forces of darkness were rising across the entire galaxy. Jacen Solo had become Darth Kydus, the Sith were returning in hordes, and Dala had emerged from the Maw. Boba Fett was now the leader of an entire world of mercenaries, and the Imperial Moffs had developed and unleashed a horrific nanoweapon. The galaxy was tipping toward darkness before their eyes, and as far as Luke could see, the Jedi and their allies were the only ones capable of restoring the balance. If they did not dedicate themselves completely to the light, all would be lost. A gentle rasp sounded as the hatch dilated again, and Luke turned to see his niece leading a long procession of masters into the cabin. Completely recovered from her own injuries, Jaina looked both robust and beautiful, and there was an inner calm that Luke had not sensed in her before now.
"It's good to see you on your feet, Grandmaster Skywalker,"
Jaina said, crossing to Luke and wrapping him in her arms.
"How are you feeling?"
"Honestly, a bit weak, but it is very good to be back among the living."
Jaina glanced toward a chair sitting close to his bedside and said,
"Maybe we should sit."
Luke shook his head.
"I'll be fine, and there are some things I would like the council to consider before I grow tired."
Jaina's eyes flashed with concern, but she nodded.
"Just don't overdo it, okay?"
Luke promised to be careful, then quickly greeted the rest of his visitors. Corrin Horn, Kyle Katarn, Kip Durin, the Yuuzhan Master, Baratakel, Silgal, Octoramus, the entire Jedi Council, except Cam and Tion Solasar, who were still out of touch on Shidu Maad, and Saba Sebatine, who was lingering just outside the cabin issuing the orders to recover Raynar Thul. Wynn Dorvan came last, looking calm, alert, and remarkably recovered from his torment at the hands of the Sith. In fact, the only noticeable after-effects of the torture sessions were his baggy eyes, which suggested that he was having trouble sleeping, and the near-obsessive stroking of his pet Chilik's furry head, which was poking out of his tunic pocket.
"Chief Dorvan, thanks for joining us," Luke said, offering his hand.
"Tell me about the situation on Coruscant."
Dorvan stopped petting his chitlick long enough to shake hands.
"It's bad, but it's under control," he said. "The volcanic activity has stopped everywhere on the planet, though it will probably be years before we have even a basic survey of the damage to the Undercity. The seismic activity team has identified over 100,000 sites that need investigation down there, and it's not always easy to tell whether we're looking for a magma well, a terrorist attack, or a building collapse."
"Tell him about the death clouds,"
Kip Durin suggested. Dorvan's face grew grim. "That's right," he said. "Clouds of ash, poisonous gas, and toxic smoke are still spreading through the Undercity. We think Underdweller casualties are huge."
"Luke, they could be in the billions already."
Luke felt a sudden wave of nausea.
"I'm sorry," he said. "I wish we could have stopped Abeloth before she reached Coruscant."
"I'm just glad you stopped her when you did," Dorvan replied. "And frankly, I'm surprised you could.
I only saw some of what she was capable of. And